Jordan suddenly felt very tired. The truths he was finding at Castle Midnight kept hitting him like hammer blows. Perhaps the more so because deep down, he'd always known them. He knew about King Malcolm. Most people did. The king had fancied himself a general and had sent troops into battle after battle to test his own theories of warfare. At first, he took on the bandits and outlaws in his own land, and then as his confidence grew, he moved against his neighboring countries in a series of border campaigns intended to spread the boundaries of Redheart. With his elemental magic to aid him, he won more battles than he lost, but still the campaigns cost him more in revenue and men than his newly conquered lands could replace. And so it went. King Malcolm had not been a cruel man, as kings went, but it could not be said he was greatly loved by his people for all his victories. His sons appeared to be cast in the same mold, only worse. There was a madness about Dominic, a vileness to Louis, and now it seemed Victor was no better. It came as no real surprise. Jordan had seen a dangerous weakness in the prince's face, for all his brave words, added to a petulance that changed all too easily into arrogance and viciousness.
I will sit upon the throne of Redheart if I have to see all the corridors of this castle soaked in blood to do it!
Jordan frowned. His dreams and illusions had never really been any more than that. His audiences might have believed in the heroic nobles he had portrayed for them, but he never had. Not deep down, where it counted. The aristocracy held its power and position by force of arms and magic, nothing more. Anything else was just a dream. Jordan looked down to see his wine glass empty. He felt restive, without any planned moves or actions to fall back on. He strolled casually forward, headed nowhere in particular, and the courtiers fell unobtrusively back before him. Gawain moved silently at his side. It didn't have to be just a dream, Jordan suddenly realized. He was a prince now, and could act as a prince should. But if he did, he'd be acting out of character, and could be revealed as an imposter. Besides, there was Count Roderick to consider. Victor might think he was in charge, but it was clear to Jordan that Roderick was the real brains and power in this conspiracy. It wouldn't surprise Jordan to discover that Roderick was using Victor rather than the other way around. Jordan looked around for another drink. He was damned if he was going to get through this sober. Brian DeGrange sat in his study, nursing a glass of wine and staring at it bitterly. There was a time he'd been a real drinking man, but not anymore. The Geas wouldn't let him do anything to himself that might interfere with his duties as head of security. The bastard spell wouldn't let him get drunk, no matter how much he needed to. One glass of wine an evening, sometimes two, a mug of beer with his dinner. That was it. He couldn't get drunk, he couldn't run away, and he couldn't even kill himself, let alone the men who'd done this to him. DeGrange scowled at his half-empty glass. He might have been an outlaw, but at least he usually granted his enemies the kindness of a quick death, and he'd never kept slaves. One day, he would have his revenge. One day. Until then, he worked hard as head of castle security. Partly because the Geas demanded it, but mainly because it wasn't in his nature to do sloppy work. If he did something, his pride demanded that he do it well. He'd never been able to settle for being second best, even if that meant killing the man in front of him. DeGrange grinned wolfishly. That was what had got him outlawed all those years ago, and he'd never regretted it. The bastard shouldn't have got in his way. He winced as a familiar headache began, pounding dully in his temples. The Geas was warning him. If he persisted in dwelling on his past as an outlaw and the things he'd done, the headache would grow worse, until the pain drove him screaming into unconsciousness. He'd learned the hard way that there was no profit in trying to fight the Geas. He concentrated on calm, neutral thoughts, with the bitter ease of long practice. When all was said and done, security at Castle Midnight was never less than interesting. On a good day, he could lose himself in his work and go for hours on end without remembering he was a slave. The pain in his temples slowly began to subside. He drank his wine, hardly noticing the taste. He was getting maudlin again. It was the approaching autumn that did it. He'd always loved riding through the forests in the fall, the changing leaves hanging around the trees like bronzed tatters. He missed the forests. He hadn't been able to set foot outside Castle Midnight in 7 years. He looked about him, taking in the bare walls of his study. It wasn't a large room, but it was warm, comfortable, and private. He'd lived in much worse in his time. He called it his study, but actually it was his bedroom and living room as well. No sense in wasting precious space on a slave, after all. It wasn't as if he was going to object. The room would have been too small for two people, but there was only DeGrange. There had been a woman once who'd warmed his heart and given him a reason for living, but the king's men had cut her down when they stormed his camp. If she'd lived, she would have been 29 this year. DeGrange hadn't found anyone else after her. Ligeias saw to that. A close personal attachment might interfere with his duties. DeGrange shook his head slowly, tears burning unshed in his eyes. Gripped again by a familiar feeling of utter frustration, he was trapped. He couldn't escape, but he couldn't even strike out at his jailers. DeGrange's hands clenched into fists.
Dammit! Dammit! Dammit!
When he finally stopped, the warning headache throbbed fiercely in his temples. He hated himself for his weakness, but he hated Count Roderick more. And finally, that hatred gave him the strength to regain his calm again. One day the Ligeias might relax its grip on him, if only for a moment, or Roderick might make some foolish mistake. When that chance came, DeGrange was determined not to miss it. DeGrange immediately turned as Count Roderick walked in, without waiting to be asked. The door was never locked. DeGrange wasn't allowed a key.
What can I do for you, my lord?
The regents summoned Louis, Dominic, and Victor to a special audience at court. Why didn't you warn me about this?
It's the first I've heard about it, my lord. I should have heard something. Either this was a very sudden decision, or he's discovered that I'm your man first and his second.
Louis and Dominic weren't at court when the actor and I got there. They should have got there first. What's keeping them?
I can venture an educated guess. Louis and Dominic's private troops have been jockeying for position in the castle for days. If the regent's troops weren't there to enforce the peace, there'd have been open fighting in the corridors by now. Presumably Louis and Dominic are waiting till the last possible moment to leave their own areas, while their troops make sure it's safe for them to walk to court.
Yes, that makes sense. Yes. What do you make of the Great Jordan, now that you've had time to think about him?
He's arrogant and conceited, like all actors, but that's not exactly a handicap to impersonating a prince. He's untrustworthy, of course. He has no real reason not to be. I've no doubt he'd betray us in a moment if anyone put any pressure on him. But he seems competent enough. Have you left him alone at court?
Of course not. Gawain's with him.
That should help to keep him safe from assassins. But if the actor's to deal successfully with the courtiers, he's going to need some more subtle help. Perhaps the Lady Heather.
Good idea. I'll go and see her now.
Roderick smiled at him pleasantly and turned to leave.
What would I do without you, Brian?
An old impulse made DeGrange draw his sword. The Ligeias extracted a price. The pain sent the world spinning, and it was all he could do not to pass out right there. He glared dully at the closed door as the pain slowly ebbed. Roderick hadn't even noticed. DeGrange kneeled on the floor, waiting for the throbbing pain to subside. One day, he promised himself. One day.